All right, welcome everybody. I'd like to call the February 16th, 2017 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers is absent. Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Thank you. Next, would everybody rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Before we move on to the adoption, I did want to just make a quick brief comment. This is our first meeting since the incident at West Liberty Salem High School, and just wanted to publicly make that comment that they are definitely in our thoughts and prayers, and so I had to go on the record saying that. So next up, we do need a motion to approve our agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we need a motion to approve both Tammy Ryan and Sarah Mueller as the employees of the month for January and February. I'll make that motion. You have a second?
I'll second.
All right. Second by Ms. Savage. Now.
All right. So Sarah couldn't be here tonight, but I'll go ahead and read Sarah's comments. Sarah has served the school district with much enthusiasm, dedication, and commitment in an effort to provide for needs of the district. She was nominated and selected by her fellow employees as the Employee of the Month because she completes tasks every day with a smile on her face. She not only completes the tasks given to her, but anticipates tasks and gets them done without being asked. She is meticulous with her work and makes it appear effortless. There are times that our workload is difficult due to the volume and short deadlines. Again, Sarah completes these work responsibilities with ease, grace, and without complaint. Our office has taken on more and more responsibility as it relates to College Credit Plus, the new graduation requirements, and testing. Our board office, administration, and office has turned to Sarah to manually keep track of these vital records until an electronic system is created. Sarah's coworkers and colleagues respect her capabilities and trust her work. She is humble, kind, and quietly goes about her work daily. When asked if she would work elsewhere or other departments, she states, she loves what she does for our office and likes helping the students. You know a person is valuable when many of us have asked, wondered, and stated out loud, what will we do without her? So congratulations to Sarah.
And I just want to add quickly, because I work with her through my regular job and with scholarships, and she has been amazing. She's just, I couldn't agree more with her being nominated and getting this award, so.
Congratulations. And we have two now because we meet every other month.
Right.
So the second one is Tammy Ryan. So this Tammy here.
I guess
so. All right. So I'll go ahead and read about Tammy. I know it was a question if she could come or not. Tammy was nominated by her fellow employees because she organizes and collects old textbooks. Made sure that everything got boxed up and sent away to students in need in another country. The art department is expanding into a classroom that's not in use, and she volunteered to clean it out and all of the cupboards and desks. She does it before and after school. The Christmas tree needed a topper, and she went to Goodwill and purchased a stuffed lion. If she sees a need by anyone, she is always willing to help. She unjams copiers, loads papers, and staples and toner. So congratulations to Special Education Aide Tammy Ryan.
That's wonderful. We really appreciate them going above and beyond. So thank you very much. And with that, any other comments or questions? In the roll call.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Next up, I believe, We have a presentation from Creekview, which reminds me that I forgot to thank you for hosting our meeting. So it's a lovely setup here, and we're really excited to hear what you're going to share with us tonight.
Thank you. It's an honor to have you here. Tonight you're going to hear from two of our teachers around a theme of personalized learning in a math workshop classroom, an inclusion classroom. But before I turn the presentation over to my teachers, I want to take a moment and highlight for you some rewards, awards, recognitions that we received over the fall from last year's state report card. Under the component of progress or growth, we were really pleased that our kids made significant, greater than expected growth in all areas on all assessments. Value added is a metric or measure of a teacher's impact on a student's learning. And all of our intentional efforts over the last several years are reflected in our value-added results. We're really excited about it. We were recognized by the State Board of Education of Ohio with the Momentum Award. The Momentum Award recognizes all A's in every value-added measure on the state report card. And so what that says is, what that means is that above expected growth for all students in all categories. Specifically, all of our kids made greater than expected growth, and our subgroups did as well. Our kids that are economically disadvantaged, our kids that are students with disabilities, our gifted kids, I'm really proud of the work that our teachers are doing with our students and the results show. We were also recognized by Mattel for Kids and their Project SOAR. You can see it on the television that we were one of 16 school buildings in the state of Ohio that were recognized for significant value-added results. We're really, really proud of that.
So thank you. Excellent.
We are going to continue to make significant gains, and I wanted to share with the board our building goals for 2016-17. So that we can ensure the progress that we made on last year's report card. Specifically, we have been very intentional about increasing student engagement. And student engagement in the classroom with instructional models and instructional design, not only academic and cognitive engagement, but social and emotional engagement as well, culture and climate for students. We've been intentional about and strategic with our staff to increase adult engagement. What teachers are doing in the classroom, but what our teachers are doing in our professional learning communities as well, as we create opportunities for collaboration, creating opportunities for teachers to get together and talk about teaching and learning. We are moving the needle when it comes to adult engagement, strategic planning. I'm really excited with the work that Chris Dice is doing with Diane around technology and blended learning. Fifth graders, every one of our fifth graders has a Chromebook, and that changes the way teachers teach. Next year, every student in this building, all 850 of them, will have a Chromebook. So we are really working hard around blended learning and what that looks like as we personalize the learning experience for every one of our students. And again, what's most important, Diane set us on a path years ago to really maximize teaching and learning opportunities for every one of our students. And that's a focus district-wide, certainly a focus here. And I want to bring that reality to light as I share the work that Ashley Terzis is doing along with Allie Andrews. Absolutely wonderful work that's happening in their classroom. I want to turn the presentation over to them. They've worked hard in preparation for tonight.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So our classroom is centered on a math workshop model, so we try and customize all areas of learning, whole group, small group, individual, as much as possible. And this picture is just an idea of what a day in our math classroom might look like. Voice and choice activities, blended learning tools, small group instruction.
So this is a picture of inside our classroom, and the picture on the left there kind of lets students know that they're in a learning environment that it's okay to take risks. you can kind of see the model there up there says that, you know, they're going to learn a new skill and they're going to make mistakes and they're going to practice the skill and they're going to be assessed and they're probably going to make mistakes. But then they're going to, you know, we're going to intervene with them and they're going to practice it some more. They're going to be reassessed. So it kind of shows the students that we don't always master things the first time, but they have multiple chances to master them. And we just really want them to have that growth mindset of pushing forward and not giving up and being able to take risks. And then you can kind of see in the white there in the middle, that's an example of a student in our classroom who was showing his growth mindset. He was working on a choice board activity. It was an activity that he wasn't, we hadn't taught yet this year, and he didn't know it. So in his box, he wrote, "I can't do it yet." So he was telling us that he can't do this skill, but he's going to come back to it. So it wasn't that he just kind of shut down and gave up. He knew that he was eventually going to be able to master that content. And then we have a student that we interviewed, just kind of giving you an idea of how they've used growth mindset in the classroom. Make it to click on the door.
Give an example of how you've used growth mindset in that class.
Oh, we have challenges. We need to know about what we're learning about, but the growth mindset helped us and encouraged us to keep.
Just kind of talk over it. So she's just given an example of how their group was working on a skill that we hadn't taught about in class, and they came in and said, "What's a square root?" So they kind of did some research and kind of found the answers on their own without me having to teach it to them, and then I eventually pulled them in small group and we went over the content together. So this is an example of what it looks like inside our classroom. I participated in a professional development at Navin this summer, and it really sparked my interest in doing the flexible seating, giving kids choice on where they sit and how they learn. So I went actually over to the STEM school and dug through some of the district's desks and tables and stuff. So some of those have been in other buildings that we've used. But we are so appreciative of some money that the district provided for us. So we really can't thank you enough. The kids are loving it. We had a kid come in, and they saw some of the new, like, exercise balls and stuff, and they came in, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to come to math class. So just seeing the students' excitement for learning, it makes it all worth it. So if you want to click to the next page, you can kind of see we've got tables for students to be able to stand at. We've got floor seating, they can sit on the floor, they have a desk to work at, we've got some wobble stools and some exercise balls, so it kind of accommodates for all students and kind of like personalizes their learning and what's best for them. And then this is some student engagement activities. We take the students, you know, we show them how learning can take place outside of our four walls in our classroom, so this was back when it was nice outside, we took them outside for a little relay race. So we're still learning math, but they're working together as a team. We've got some peer students that are working with a peer to help engage in their learning. So we partner them up in for different tasks that go on.
So, you know, from a special ed standpoint, I'm an intervention specialist in the room. So it's been hard to find a balance on how to teach the content but also monitor students' IEP goals. So typically when students come into the classroom, they'll have a problem of the day or a daily spiral review that they'll do each day. And for the students who are on IEPs, I've kind of taken that aspect of their day-to-day schedule and tied it into their IEP goals. So that's when I progress monitor what goals they need to work on inside the classroom so that they can still work on their goals without being pulled out. And then their typical peers will have a problem the day either on the content we're learning, a reteaching of a skill, or a pre-teaching of a skill that might be coming later. And then we'll do a whole group mini lesson
And then they'll go into their small group instruction or rotation. So you can see on the board, you know, the different groups of students might be working on different topics. If one group has already mastered the content, we'll move them on, and they'll be on topic 9 when the rest of the class is on topic 8. So they kind of move at their own pace throughout the topics and the content, and they'll meet with both of us throughout the week. They'll be doing hands-on activities. They'll be doing iReady, Schoology. And all of those are personalized for wherever they're at in the topic that's being taught. So one blended learning resource that we use daily in our classroom is Schoology. And we've created different groups within Schoology for the different groups of students. So we'll have a topic 9 group for those students who have already moved on, and we'll have a topic 8 group for the students that are moving through those lessons. So this is a typical Schoology lesson that they'll move through throughout the topic. You know, a pre-assessment, practice, the quick checks they'll take, and it'll give them a leveled assignment that differentiated based on how they scored on their quick check. And then it'll end with a post-assessment. We'll put videos, you know, if a game applies to the unit, we'll put games in there. It just depends on, you know, the unit at hand and where the students are at. iReady is another big part of our classroom. We have an iReady board that the students keep track of the lessons that they've passed. So for each lesson they pass, they'll put a paper clip on their name tag. And then as students get their 45 minutes of time throughout the week, we'll put a star on their card. And if they reach their 45 minutes, then they get to spin a prize wheel the following Monday. And this gets the students really engaged and excited about iReady. They love putting the paper clips on and seeing their chains grow and grow. And they get competitive, you know, of who can have the most iReady minutes, and we've just seen it be a beneficial blended learning tool in our classroom.
Can you, quick question about that iReady, just maybe explain a little bit about how it works and what the purpose
sure.
is for it?
So yeah. It's an online program for math and ELA, and it mm-hmm. levels to where the student is at. So they take a diagnostic, and it kind of figures out where the gaps of their learning is. So maybe they're missing skills from the second grade. It'll provide them with online lessons to support okay. those skills. And then if, you know, they reach grade level, it'll keep moving them on and giving them skills that maybe we haven't taught yet. So it's great for the higher students because it kind of teaches them the skills that now we're teaching in the classroom. And for some of our lower mm-hmm. students, now they're being provided with lessons of reteaching of skills that we taught back in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the inclusion students in our classroom on IEPs, I can push out specific lessons based on their IEP goals to support that aspect as well.
Right. Thank you.
So a voice and choice part of our classroom is we started these bingo boards, which we have different modified versions to suit the needs of, you know, the different learners in our classroom and personalized for them and their, you know, academic level and what they're capable of doing independently. So, you know, it's a lot of hands-on activities, task cards, projects, creating raps and rhymes, creating posters, creating, you know, their own tests and quizzes that they'll give to their peers based on the topic that's being taught and kind of reteaching of past skills. So the students really love them. If they get a bingo, you know, that's what they need in order to turn it in. So they can choose which way they want to do, which activities they want to complete, you know, so it gives them some freedom on how they want to show and demonstrate their learning. This is what our choice board looks like in our classroom. That's where we hang up all of the activities that the students will find on the bingo board.
And then we're given 30 minutes of rice time every day, and so we use it for enrichment and intervention activities. This is an example of like what the iReady diagnostic gives us. It groups students in profiles, and it's based on their personal learning, what they need. So we use this tool to help us divide the students up. We do have 7 adults on our team since we are an inclusion team, so all hands on deck during rise time. So mm-hmm. all 7 teachers have students, so they're small groups, so we can help meet those needs of the individual students better. And then, so this is just an example. This is Ms. Andrews with her small group giving some number talks to students. And then small group going on again. Down at the bottom is some resources that iReady provides for us. So based on where the students are, we can go to iReady and get some resources to be able to use during our rise time.
Can we add anything to iReady, or is that just kind of a, like, the resources in there, is that a fixed amount of resources?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
iReady's content continually updates.
Gotcha. Okay.
They add new content.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
This is a video of students that are talking about the math classroom.
Hopefully it works. It's pretty cool.
I like small groups.
So what you hear if the video worked are just really happy kids. Kids that we talk about what student engagement looks like. Kids that are connected. Kids that are connected to the content. Kids that are connected to their teachers. Kids that are connected to each other. The work that we are doing really was represented in the work that these two folks are doing in this classroom. In our math department, in our grade level, in our school. Our administrative team's doing some work around leadership, specifically the multiplier effect, and how we as leaders are growing leaders in our building. You know, school's an important job, it's a big job, and schools aren't run just by building principals, they're run by teacher leaders as well. And here we have two amazing teachers that have had a positive impact, not only on kids, but on their colleagues as well. I'll tell you, Ashley Terzis has been with us for only 3 years, and her impact on us is remarkable. Hallie's been with us since August 21st, first-year teacher, and her ceiling's really, really high. We are so proud of the work these two are doing. We're really proud of the work that's happening in this building. What you heard today is what a typical classroom looks like nowadays at this building. So we're making great progress. We've got great leadership. Jennifer De La Hostria, one of our instructional leaders. Brian Fairman, an instructional leader and an assistant principal. We definitely have the right folks driving instruction, teaching, and learning at this point. Yeah. We're glad we could tell the story tonight.
I have to tell you that I was sitting here, and I'm always amazed, and tonight is no exception. First, as a high school teacher for many years, working with younger kids would have driven me wild. You guys are doing a tremendous job. And I think back to, you know, the personalized learning being brought in and getting that started, and Chris talking about one-to-one technology and utilizing that as a tool, not as the instructional teacher component. And what you have shown us tonight is how those things have all come together and how you've been able to utilize, you know, all of that, personalize it to yourselves so that you can personalize learning for your students. And that is just absolutely incredible. I'm so excited. What time's class tomorrow?
We welcome you to come and visit.
Oh, yes.
Or he wants to take the class.
That's fine, too.
I need it.
Thank you for those comments.
Right. Just the change in the way that you're teaching, I guess, for you, how would you compare it to past years, and do you feel like, tell me what you think about this change.
Definitely it was risky at the beginning, because, up until this year, you would have seen me, you know, my class sitting there, and I was on my feet the entire day. And so now it's like, even with the flexible seating and the kids coming in and sitting where they want, it's just changed. Like, it's made me more excited to come. And but I feel like it's easier because my relationship with the kids are so much better, because I feel like, you know, state testing is a big stress for us. And so when we, like, are teaching, all we're worried about is, like, you know, getting these kids ready for testing. But when we're sitting down with them and there's five kids at my table, I can take that 5 minutes and have that personal conversation with them. So that's been a huge change for me, than just be able to relate to the kids more.
Right.
I've got a question that I always think about after I leave, but I remembered it tonight. Discipline, classroom discipline. Have you noticed a difference in terms of the student behavior and the discipline issues and so forth?
Yeah. And actually, I feel like the, like, other teachers in the building, I think that's a huge concern for them, is because, like, you know, our students don't have an assigned seat to come into, and they're like, well, how do you separate the kids that are behavior kids? But when they're comfortable with where they're learning, then they're not a behavior issue. So we haven't had that very, very many behavior issues. I mean,
yeah, great question. And we've always said, when kids are engaged and they're challenged and they're working hard, the best classroom management tool is quality instruction, and that's that's what we say.
But I also feel like with us doing small group instruction more, they're having a connection with us. Mm-hmm. And so instead of acting out to get our attention, they know they can come and get our attention in other ways.
Well, one of my veteran teachers said in an OTES conversation, this small group stuff's pretty cool. I know the kids better than I ever have, and I think they're smarter.
Because the classroom has a lot of flexibility, and if you're focused on a smaller group, having the other kids in the room act appropriately and behave themselves appropriately would be critical. But I see the point you're making, that if they're engaged in learning activity, then they're, you know, they're not being distracted by disruptive behavior.
I just had a quick question about, you know, children today are so much more technically savvy than we were. How are they reacting to iReady and Schoology and programs like that in the classroom?
They love it. They actually, they'll come to me and be like, so we have the Schoology assignment and you haven't, you know, enabled the quiz to us. So they're always coming to me and being like, you need to enable the quiz. I'm like, okay, you said it. So, but they don't, they like it for the fact that they can kind of go at their own pace and they're not waiting around on, you know, the other students. Something that, you know, we did just start coming back from Christmas break was we gave them like a pretest over some fractions. But, you know, like we had several kids that aced the pretest. And so instead of boring them for a week with something they already knew, we just kind of pushed out these other lessons to get them going. But so I think they like that because they're more independent. And
well, in terms of like the lower, you know, students on the IEPs, the iReady is amazing because they're able to work on some of those skills they're lacking, like, you know, personal to them on their own computer where it's not apparent to their typical peers that okay, we're working on skills maybe from 3 years ago. It's you know, on the computer, and they work through it, and then they can progress. And I've seen a lot of benefits with that for them because there's not always time to teach all of those skills that they've missed throughout the years. So iReady is a great kind of gap filler.
Kind of helps with their confidence too, because they're passing lessons. And that's something that excites them.
I would just say the best part was pointing out the fact that iReady doesn't take the place of you, right? So the idea is your instruction and iReady are complements and work together to reaffirm or reestablish learning that needs to take place. Because I think sometimes the idea with one-to-one is, well, we don't need as many teachers anymore, and that's absolutely not the truth, right? But they complement each other. The other thing, Tim, if you don't mind, I'd like to pick on you a minute.
Sure.
We've been talking about culture and climate at Creekview for a while. In your last data meeting, you certainly shared some information with Jonathan and I about kind of a swing in culture in your building. And maybe could you give us some big umbrella strokes about some of the data you've been collecting?
We have been intentional about professional behavior and trust, and really have worked towards creating greater trust in one another. We've surveyed folks over the course of the last 3 years with similar surveys, and the data would show that our folks are working together more collaboratively. I talked about that in our building goals. There's greater trust. The teachers are more engaged. Adult behavior is more collaborative, and as a result, kids have a better experience. And when kids have a better experience, it just cycles, and teachers have a better experience. Then our families have better experience. I heard from someone on the way in, hey, hearing great things in the community about the work you guys are doing here at this school. And it all starts to cycle. So, yeah, when we have teachers like this leading other teachers as a, you know, showing what can happen in the classroom, we're building great momentum.
Thank you.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, that's...
They did a great job.
Wonderful. Right? They did a great job. Right. Well... I also wanted to take a moment just to recognize that we do have some interns here at Creekview that are visiting our meeting right now. So if you want to stand up and say hi and maybe who you're working with.
Okay. Hi, I'm Renee Berglund. I'm working with the guidance staff, so Angela Dillaha and Molly Balch.
Okay.
Nick Balich, and I'm working with Molly Balch and Angela Dillaha as well.
Okay. I'm Bethany Cook, and yes, I'm also working with my guidance. All three of us are from Ohio State, and so this is our field placement for the year, and we really enjoyed all the tasks that we've been entrusted with, and yeah, we're loving it here, so we actually really appreciate you guys giving us this opportunity.
Great. Thanks. Well, thank you.
Yeah, just I will say that they also have really had a positive impact on our student experience. They're designing activities for kids, clubs for kids, and really making sure that our kids feel more connected now than they ever have before. So they're getting great experience. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay. I believe public participation. I believe we do have one person on our list here, Mr. Krzyzewski. So if you wouldn't mind stating your name.
Sure.
And address, and you, and I think you know the spiel. You've got 3 minutes.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
My name is Bob Krzyzewski. I live at 22165 McAdow Road, Marysville, which is up in Taylor Township. For the past 2 years, Madam Chairwoman and board members, I've been trying to attend as many of your meetings as possible. I hope that in that time you come to view me as at least half as interested in education as you guys are. Mm-hmm. And being now a public official, I want you also to look at me, I hope, as a colleague in the effort to help education and foster at Marysville. And I will say, after this presentation, I'm absolutely flabbergasted, as I am at practically all of your presentations at all of our meetings, at what these schools are able to do. Mm-hmm. Like Dick Smith, he and I can probably remember the day when the latest software upgrade was the delivery of highlights for children. And the epitome of hardware was when your school got its first Kodak carousel projector. But what I want to talk about tonight is the alternative 912 school. Mm-hmm. I want to give you some constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. What I've seen so far are two articles in the Marysville Journal Tribune. Mm-hmm. And to me, there hasn't been a lot of detail, and I wouldn't necessarily expect that. What I'd like to suggest to the board is a more thorough presentation of what the 912 alternative school is supposed to do. I mean, you know I'm a township trustee, I'm a process guy, I have a bit of an education behind me, so I view this, it was stated in one of the articles that this was an operational thing. It seems to me that this change to a 912 alternative is also a policy issue. And I really would hope that the board would discuss that at some point in time, perhaps put out a public meeting to educate the public more about it. For instance, some of the questions I have is, so what are the attributes that cause a child to be labeled at risk? I mean, you guys, obviously you know, because you've been involved in this your entire professional career. You folks probably know. The general public doesn't. Is at-risk a designation that only applies when a child gets to the 9-12 grading? Or does it carry through throughout a child's entire school experience? And how are such students that are labeled at-risk, how are they handled now at the high school? Are they separated, as this alternative school will do, both physically and maybe emotionally, developmentally, whatever it is? The other thing is, how will attendance at a new site that you've proposed, how is that going to be of greater benefit than what we're doing now? So those are just some of the questions I have as a taxpayer. I was never blessed to have children in Marysville School District.
Okay.
So I'd like, again, to put that before you guys.
And I am very confident that all of those questions are going to be answered, and some of them beginning, shortly tonight in her report. So, yes. Thank you very much.
You
we will definitely get, you'll get your answers. So, okay. Next up, I think we have the superintendent's report.
Fantastic. I think we're going to start with Holly. Holly, do you want to come
Yes.
up? So I hope you remember last year, Holly joined us for the first ever Beyond the Influence poster campaign. And so she's back this year. Certainly a lot of these faces are also faces that we've been talking about in our one-to-one mentor, or three-to-one really, mentorship program that we're going to start next week. So it's kind of perfect timing that they're here tonight to kick that off. So, Holly?
Sure. I'll introduce myself. I'm Holly Zweizig. I'm with the Mental Health and Recovery Board of Union County, and I serve as the coordinator for the Union County Drug-Free Coalition. And it is our privilege to work with Marysville School District for a number of years in a number of different projects. As Mrs. Mankins pointed out, if we began the Above the Influence campaign last year as a pilot initiative here, and with much success, we decided to take it on again. Before us this evening are a number of students who are involved in different levels of that project. So, first of all, I'd like to point out that it was through the leadership of Mr. Williams at the high school that we identified students who are really living above the influence. And what does that mean? It means they are living drug-free lives. It means they are living above the negative influence of other things such as bullying, negative relationships, social media issues that can really wreak havoc on a young person's life and those around them. So we're looking for individuals who are showing strong character in those points, who also are exhibiting that to their peers and specifically to their younger peers. We know that students look up to those high school students very much so. And when I ask those questions of those students here at Creekview or at Bunsell Middle School, they have very strong expectations of their high school peers and look up to them a lot, probably more than you even realize. We'd like to showcase those students and the work that they're doing and their exemplary behaviors. This year, we decided to take it one step further, and we utilized the images that we took last year, and then we took those same images back to the high school, and with the partnership with Kelly Friend, who's the art teacher there, they through their graphic design program, they utilized the art students there to actually create the posters this year, rather than us contracting with someone else to do that. So now we have an image of a high school student, which was created into a poster created by a high school student. And then you may not notice, but in this tiny corner, the above the influence symbol, which is a circle with an arrow in it, was actually colored and designed by our Bunsell Middle School students. It's our hope that next year we'll take it one step further, and our students at the Early College High School will take the images of our students, too, so we'll have all aspects of this poster campaign will be developed and promoted through our students here, which is fantastic. Tonight, we're pleased to have a number of students with us. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Go ahead, Lindsay.
My name is Lindsay Featheroff. I go to the Early College High School, and I'm involved with Union County Youth Youth, which is why I'm on that poster.
I'm not a student.
My name is Shay Lieber. I'm a senior at the high school, and I'm really involved in FFA, and I've been involved in Mr. Williams Leadership Academy, which is why I've been a part of this, too.
I'm Max Ayers, and I'm a senior.
Nice.
Yeah, Matt, that works out. You should get to stand next to each other since Matt helped create that poster. And then Miss Grace did this one, Mackenzie Smeagol's not here tonight, but that's her poster. We are also pleased to have two postgraduates part of our campaign this year. We don't want to miss out on them. Miss Sarah Jane is involved in this one, and her prom mother is here, too. So do you want to come up and hold this on her behalf? You're like, next. So we'll snap a couple of quick pictures, too. We just wanted to highlight not only the young people who are part of this project, but also thank the district for their participation and support in this initiative. So thank you very much. Look for these around town and in the buildings, too. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have a quick question.
Yes, please.
About the quotes. How did they're all quotes from you guys on the poster. How does that come about?
the students are asked to come up with a word of wisdom, I guess, either for why they choose to be above the influence or recognize something in their life that helps support them in making healthy choices. And it's also a message we want to see younger people, I guess, read that about that individual and perhaps take to heart for themselves.
So how was the process of coming up with the quotes?
The kid does it, the student.
No, I mean, how was it hard or easy or fun or what?
It was just being honest about how you really feel about the topic.
I will say, from the students, working with the students, that I felt like it was easy for them also because they have truly thought about it before this even came along. They have actively made a decision on these type of things. So I think that it was fairly easy for them because they've set a certain course for themselves that they're going to stick to. Mm-hmm. A good foundation.
And I love the diversity in the posters this year. I think you guys did a fantastic job. It takes me all day to like even figure out how to open Photoshop. What a poster. So wonderful work.
Yeah. I love the collaboration. You know, it's just kind of that theme in our district, right? Innovate, collaborate, inspire. And what a great idea to have the art department working together with the students. And
we'll be back. You've done a great job. Doing at Bunsell too.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So
fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to sneak out here.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. I guess a couple weeks ago, Lindsay, don't go anywhere. Lindsay, and so does Sean, if you'll stay up here for a second, had the opportunity to go with me to receive an award from the governor, and he awarded 7 innovation awards across the state of Ohio. And what I would tell you is each one of those awards were based on more of an academic reform of the building, pathways, STEM schools, etc. We were honored for having the bravery and courage to talk about drugs and alcohol and drug abuse in our community and kind of be the hub for engagement. Mm-hmm. Above the Influence was mentioned. We talked about our mentor program and Start Talking campaign. That video, I believe, is now on the website. We had some trouble loading it, so I think it is up now, but certainly just an honor to get that award. A lot of people are doing that work, and there was, you know, only 6 of us could go. Bruce Daniel went as well, but just a huge shout out to everyone. Holly's involvement, everyone's involvement, because it wasn't just our district's award. It's really a community effort, so we're super proud of that.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, I wanted to, I'll kind of go in order, I guess. I want to talk briefly about the stadium project. We've been talking about that for a couple months now. Want to give some highlights of what's taken place and then what's on the horizon. We have a couple people here to talk to you as well after I finish.
Great.
I want to start off just reminding everyone that our original estimates are around $8.4 million. So certainly a large investment. As we've talked before, and I'll just remind everyone again, a couple years ago, as you can recall, the board made a decision to stop the practice of taking money from the PI fund to pay off bond debt. Andrea Weaver came, talked to us a little bit about that board meeting, and we kind of made that shift. Since that time, the monies have been coming in. What was happening before is money was coming in from TIF collection. That TIF collection was paying off bond debt. Now that money comes in from TIF collection. It's an account, and we have about $4.5 million. And it's important to remember, in that PI fund, you can't buy staff from that. You can't... you can buy textbooks, technology, those type of things, but it cannot go to operating the district. So just a reminder of those 3 buckets of money. So we're going to be using actually the TIF money that's been coming in since that time at $4.5 million to pay a portion of that. The rest will be looking to do fundraisers. community donations and business partnerships, naming rights, those kind of things. We have some people working on that currently for the stadiums in order to generate the rest of the revenue. So the district roughly will be paying for roughly half of the project, while we look for a quarter to come from each of those other two sides. So we have met at this point with the football staff, lacrosse staff, as well as track and field to get some initial input. And, of course, there's already revisions to be made, and we recognize that as a work in progress as we continue to develop these plans. And certainly received a lot of input towards that, I would say, in our first meeting. Some things such the discus needs moved a little bit and some different things. So, but in general, a pretty big excitement. Tonight, Tim Merrick is here. Tim, you can come on up. And then we'll follow up with Larry Rancor from our Shore Architects to talk a little bit about the design.
Real quick, I'm going to jump off of the subject and talk about change. I was diagnosed as probably one of the first kids needing an IEP in Marysville 38 years ago. Tammy Hone, now Cooper, was my tutor. We met in a broom closet in Edgewood Elementary because there was nothing anywhere because it didn't exist 40 years ago. So to think about what you guys are doing now and the technology and the advancement is absolutely amazing in that timeline. Since I just told how long I've been here, I'm a lifelong citizen of Marysville. I'm a 1991 graduate. I was a dual sport athlete. I wrestled and played football. Currently, I am now the president of the MAA, or the Monarch Athletic Association, which is the umbrella company, umbrella organization that supports the 24 varsity sports at the Marysville High School. There's 24 different opportunities for kids to compete athletically for our city, our school, our town. Yes, I use that term a lot because 30-plus years ago when Mr. Smith was telling me to stop talking and start learning, that's what it was about, and it's still that way. But times have got to change. Things have got to change for that to happen. $8.4, $8.5 million is a lot of money. I'm aware of that. I realize that. I pay taxes, too. I have a graduate who graduated last year. I have a sophomore that's at the STEM school as well. And the opportunity that these kids have is absolutely amazing. But one thing we're not keeping up with is the extracurriculars. We're not keeping up with it. We have the opportunity, and we'll talk about numbers from the organization I'm in charge of, that in the last 2 years, we've tried to get into Marysville, and we could not. Over $100,000 worth of revenue for athletics in our school district. But we don't have a turf field. We don't have a stadium that we can house something if the weather gets bad. I'm also a girls lacrosse coach. I'm a volunteer because that would be a conflict of interest if I received any compensation. Our girls play on the soccer field, which is fine. It's a great stadium, except there's no running water and no plumbing anywhere in that stadium. So we're inviting in schools and tell them to use a port-a-john for varsity sports. There's a concern that we're going to take the high school experience away from the kids. I played on that field. I get it. My daughter never got the opportunity to play in a stadium with running water. Yes, we have 17 to 25 football players that graduate every year and walk away from that football stadium. But we also have 75 to 100 kids who don't get that opportunity because we don't have a field they can practice or play on in all weather. So yes, it's big, it's expensive, a change needs to happen. I think it's a benefit. There's things that we cannot do, such as band competitions, host OCC track meets, which is about 3,000 people that come to them, district track meets. Another facet of opportunity that comes with this stadium that Dublin has grabbed a hold of like there's no tomorrow, D4, D5, regional and district playoffs. They get hosted at neutral sites that house seating like that would hope. More opportunity to bring in more revenues and show off our community, show off what we have here. As Ms. Mankins mentioned, how we're paying for the other half of it. Community support, private donation, all these different aspects of it. If we can roll out a plan, which we're working on, to show the businesses that we're going to generate X number of thousands or millions of dollars, potentially into their businesses, it's an easier sell than I just need another $500. So I don't really want to get a whole lot into it in a lot of detail. Like I said, it's expensive, yes. It's a change, yes. But change is good. Change is scary. Change is progress. And it's something we need to progress into. Anything else?
All right. Hey, thank you. And Larry, if you don't mind just kind of stepping through with the board, they have seen more of the sketch than the pretty pictures.
Okay.
And then will you have one of those done then for the track stadium? I know we have.
We're going to do that, yeah. White asked me to do that last week. I wanted to get a little more input before we went back to the old drawing board, so to speak. I'm Larry Rancor with Shore Architects. I want to thank the board for having me in tonight. The district has asked me to begin kind of the programming phase and the master planning of the future stadiums at the high school and at Bunsell Middle School. Keep in mind, this is very schematic, and there hasn't been any final decisions made. Am I in your way? So no final decisions have been made on any of these things, but as we start off at the high school, we're going to increase the seating capacity on the home site to 4,000 plus seats. That basically will extend the seating from end zone or goal line to goal line, about 30, roughly 26 to 30 tiers high. We have the opportunity of selling some, some seat licensing per se in the stadium. That could generate revenue down the road too. I don't know if you guys do that now or not, but. A lot of people or a lot of school districts that renovate their stadiums go 300 to 500 reservable seats, during the football season and generate money that way. The field is getting expanded. Right now, your football field's very narrow. We're going to expand this to soccer and lacrosse size, full-size soccer, full-size lacrosse size, so that there would be more opportunity than just playing football on this field. obviously, you're spending that kind of money. You want to be able to use it 24/7, and that's basically what you can do with turf field. So many decisions for the district have made, and Mike White knows this, and Superintendent Mankins knows this as well. I mean, we got to decide that do we want Monarchs, do we want Marysville, you got the big M. You can even decide if you want alternating color in your grass to make it look like a real turf field. So tons of decisions to be made left on both sites. On the visitor side, we're going to increase the capacity to 2,000. And then I did this week get some feedback on the track that I have not worked into this drawing yet, but some of the track things that they want was that we had 700 seats here at the track. They want to increase that to around 1,400 or 1,500. And they also want lights. Just as a sidebar, lighting could be an issue because we're right on a residential property. So I'm going to have to go to the zoning to see if they'll let us. They may let us zone light from this angle, but not from this side. So my next step would get with Ron Todd with the City of Marysville and figure out if they're going to let us light this field or in which direction we would have to light it from. I'm pretty sure he's going to make us light it from east to west. In this area, we have a little dedication or plaza. That's yet to be designed. We just kind of threw in three squares. Probably acknowledge the donors there. Keep your verse or your victory bell and your flagpole there. A lot of opportunity here, to get donors and to get naming rights. I know a lot of people put in like donors or stadium names, in small print down there, so a nice $1 million from Honda would look good right there. Here's your Honda. that's very inexpensive to do. It costs about $10,000, roughly around $2,000 a letter to get a logo etched into your field. And that's another thing, decisions on whether the actual striping is sewn in or inlaid versus painted on. So, like I said, tons of decisions to be made before it's all said and done.
Brian, your last name would be pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I consider $2,000 a letter to be quite cheap.
So over Buttsville, we have a nice clean slate to work with. I don't know if you're familiar with that area, but it's pretty much the little basin that's to the east of the actual physical school building, just south of the existing baseball field. So this is nice. It's a clean slate. We don't have to work around a lot of things. There are some, there's a retention pond and some woods that we'll have to kind of deal with. It may run the costs up, but you know, those are minor compared to everything else we're doing here. So the seating at the Bunsell School will be around 2,000 capacity, and it's nice because it'll be built into the hillside. They have about a 7-foot drop from the road to the actual surface down here, so it'll be kind of a nice looking little stadium. We're going to have an addition of a concession stand that would have plenty of storage and toilet facilities. Again, you know, all these things that we keep adding and add to the cost of things. This, you know, concession stand down here, we have a long way to shoot for utilities either to the south, or we'd have to pump up to the west to get our utility connections for sanitary on the concession stand. So lots to think about. Obviously, these field event placements haven't been decided on. We just put them in there to acknowledge that they're there. And I think at the last talk, we were talking about doing turf here as well. So that is it on the stadium side of it for the schematics. Have any questions?
Does Bunsold, is that also set up for soccer and
You would, you could play soccer on, but it wouldn't be regulation size. This stadium here is about the size of what you have at the high school right now.
It's not wide enough.
Yeah.
For soccer and lacrosse, but they could practice there.
You still do it.
They could play there.
A lot of schools play on smaller fields.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You just wouldn't be able to, well, I think you can even hold districts and stuff. You wouldn't be able to hold a certain level of playoff games there, but I'm sure the districts would be fine.
Well, looks beautiful.
It's exciting.
Pretty exciting. It is. It is pretty exciting.
It really looks nice. It's nice that space is available. Because I know for many districts that are looking at projects like this, it's you know, where will we put this? Do we have enough room?
Yeah, that was one of Superintendent Mankin's first questions for the high schools. Can we take this track and put it over here? So
yeah,
we had to go through that exercise of getting a survey and physically locating the track in there to make sure it was going to work. It's tight. But that's it. No questions?
No, thank you, Larry.
At this point, yeah. Thank you very much.
Now, if I, let me just ask. Now, we're still very early in the,
yes.
in the process. Lots of decisions and lots of input yet.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Because do you have have you developed that other, the community?
Yeah,
strategic.
We have some people identified for a steering committee, and then we'll have branch-off committees, so we're trying to get those established and get a date. It seems we have a little friction settling on a date, so I think we're just going to have to pick a date, and who can come can come, and we'll rotate that way. So that process, you know, we want to meet with coaches frequently now so that logistically we have the space we need in the right places for different events, in particular the track and field. We had originally the discus kind of in the middle, and some high school throwers might not be as accurate as we'd like them to be, so we want to move that to another area, safety reasons. And so some of that will be modified now with Larry.
Okay. And then we had talked a little bit about the existing fields, you know, just kind of some of those things are still going to be used in the district.
Yes, so, there hasn't. The idea would not be to give up the soccer stadium. We haven't heard that. But the idea would be to provide the option for both soccer teams to have the opportunity to play on turf before they went to a visiting school and play on turf. It's certainly a different pace of a game. So that there's not the idea of forfeiting the current soccer stadium.
Gotcha.
Matter of fact, I would say the opposite. The idea is, the concern is, lacrosse certainly takes a wear and tear on the current stadium, so by moving them to the turf, it may help preserve the soccer stadium.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to give you a reminder that spring testing is just around the corner. We do have, and a reminder about the third grade reading guarantee. We have 48 students currently in the third grade across the district that are at risk of not making the third grade reading guarantee. So they are receiving multiple interventions during the day, some after school. We've met with all of the families, talked about those options. That's after they've been given the alternate Terranova assessment also. So certainly very strategic interventions taking place with those students now. So I'll keep you posted as we move forward with that.
When's the deadline for...
They can take, they'll take the spring test. They also have another opportunity to take a Terranova, and they take they have an opportunity in the summer.
Okay.
So, and then really with our policy on retention, mm-hmm. There are some decisions that can be made as quickly at the beginning of the school year
gotcha.
As well.
Okay.
So it's definitely depends on the individual learner.
Right.
All right. On March 21st is the ACT test of high school. I didn't write down the 21st. The high school and early college high school are going to be running an alternate schedule on those days. Every junior, actually in the state of Ohio, the state is paying for an administration of the ACT. We are giving ours March 21st. The high school in particular is running a modified schedule for seniors and juniors, and doing a kind of staggered AIR test for their English language arts on that day, so it won't be a typical day of school. And then after the juniors have finished their ACT, they will be free to go to a mentoring opportunity or job shadowing opportunity following that assessment. So just kind of a little change to make mm-hmm. you aware of.
So don't schedule a visit on that day.
Once March and April hit,
yeah,
it's not a very
out.
Popular
right.
time,
right.
right, with testing happening. I have the alternative school on my list. We have had a team of teachers and administrators working this year on our at-most at-risk learners at the high school, kids who are credit deficient, kids who are not being successful. 9 through 12, in particular looking at the seniors first and working backwards. Currently, those students are served in our PACE program that has not been hugely successful. It's been a sore spot for really all the last three principals, Matt Crispin, Aaron, mm-hmm. and Tom. They've all made some revisions, tried to change the way it looks a little bit. We've been to several suburban schools to kind of look at what they're doing with alternative learning and alternative students. And each one of those facilities, we went to Westerville, Dublin, Delaware, Worthington, and they're all off-site locations. Feedback from students in those locations really was around... It takes me out of the drama. I'm more successful here because I'm not getting caught up on the things that are happening in the school day. I can come in and do what I need to do for certain reasons. We talked to some young girls who had become mothers in high school, or some other students who had been in trouble, some kids who were just credit deficient. So kind of a variety of reasons. A partnership with the Hope Center seemed to make a lot of sense with Pastor Jess as well. Mm-hmm. We have talked to her. Ashley's been back there several times. Ashley is taking the lead and really wants to, Ashley Thompson is mm-hmm. taking the lead and really wants to build the curriculum with her team of teachers. Mm-hmm. So we know that Apex Learning will be a part of that, which is what the current PACE program is, but we don't want it to be an online school. The intent mm-hmm. is to have the human factor and to deal with job skills and interview skills and having mock interviews, having mentors from the community come in and work with students, also to work with some of the social interactions and needs of those students, mental health needs of some of the students in that program. So when you talk about at risk in general, certainly we have students at risk all throughout the district. In particular, as we're talking about transitioning in a successful life and being prepared to go out into the workforce or college or whatever the path is for that student, it's a different set of skills. And it's about, I think, when I listen to kids talk, it was about creating a sense of hope that in high school, a lot of students feel hopeless, feel that they can't see the end of the tunnel, that they're too far in or too far behind. And so it's about creating a smaller environment for that learning to take place. So Ashley is interviewing people starting next week. They will be working to build that curriculum. The plan is they will be back to the board probably in May to give a larger presentation on some decisions they've made in the direction. They're going to do outreach with every potential student and their family before the school year is out. So all that is in the works. So between now and then, they have a lot of work to pull off. So we're excited about going to the Hope Center. There's a cluster of four classrooms currently that are not being used. And it is not the kindergarten wing. I'd like to say it's the first grade wing, but Mike left to be my expert on which wing that is. But it does have direct access to the back parking lot. We shouldn't be interfering with the business of the Hope Center. The Hope Center is offered to serve lunch to our students. So it's really kind of a relationship that it is morphing. More they hear about us and what we're doing, and the more we're learning about them, there might be some volunteer opportunities for our students there. So it's really kind of changing and transforming right now. Mm-hmm. Any questions for me?
I mean, I know we've been talking about this for a while, you know, because I've had concerns over the years, like, man, when, you know, some of these students that are at risk, like students that are going to be expelled or something like that, what good are we doing when they're not being taught? And then just some of the other, that wide variety of at-risk behavior. I just think it fits so perfectly with our whole idea of personalized learning. And you listen to them, and they talked about those small groups and how much more engagement there is. And when you get to really know somebody, I mean, that's when education can start happening and teaching and learning and stuff. So I'm just thrilled. And I know it's been one of your objectives this year. And we as a board, we reviewed objectives, and this was one of them. So we've been getting updates throughout the year, and we haven't talked about it in meetings too much because there haven't been many details. But like most changes, it's been, in my opinion, it's been very well organized. And by going out and visiting these buildings, you know, trying to see best practices and trying to learn what were their struggles so that we don't go through those same struggles, I think that was a great plan. And, I just appreciate all the work that has been done, and especially that collaboration again with the Hope Center. I mean, what a perfect partnership to use classrooms that aren't being used, that have the access to the parking lot, and also the additional services that the Hope Center might be able to offer because some of the people they serve. So
I think that's where Pastor Jess kind of hooked me in even more when she said, you know, some of the kids we're talking about need us when they leave high school, and they don't want to come. And my hope would be they learn how to be comfortable here.
Right.
And so that when they left high school, they wouldn't be scared to come back. It would be a place that they're familiar with and think of as a positive experience.
Right.
And so that, to me, really kind of sealed the deal, if you will, with that partnership.
Right. I mean, a lot easier to walk around the corner of a hallway than it is to, you know, walk into a building
through the front door
for a specific, you know, thing. No, boy. So, yeah, I think that's great.
One of the things, when I started teaching in if kids didn't cut high school, it was dropped. And over the years, various programs and initiatives were started by this school district and throughout the state to try to retain students and have them complete, because I think people recognize, you know, a chain's only as strong as the weakest link, and your community is only going to be as strong as your weakest and most vulnerable people. And so helping them to be stronger, helping them to be more successful in life is, I think, critical. And I'm really excited from the standpoint that our school district wasn't satisfied. We had a PACE program. We've had some other programs prior to that to try to address it. We keep looking for, and maybe this move is, I think, is the most significant move, the biggest difference in a move to try to reach the individual needs, the individual learning needs of these students. And I really see the opportunity for greater success in making more of a holistic difference in the lives of the students than what we as a school district have been able to provide before. But again, I think it illustrates that the school district can't do it on its own. We need partners. We need community support. We need community involvement. I'm just thrilled that we're going to try. We heard about growth mindset, being willing to take a risk, and there could be some failures, there could be some bumps, there could be some difficulties that are unanticipated, but I think the rewards from the direction we're going are tremendous and well worth whatever risk there is. So, thank you for all the time, and thank Ashley for everything she's
put into this. We'll look forward to that presentation. So.
Yep.
And last two things, just a reminder. I know I think we might have talked about it last meeting. Ashley, Heather McLaughlin, Kathy McKennis, and myself have been asked to attend a conference, a national conference, and discuss our work around personalized learning. So what we're trying to do is highlight each one of the buildings that you've seen over the year. The high school is doing a little bit. The Creekview stance is a little bit. So we're trying to create a video that kind of encompasses the snapshot that everyone's not at the same place, but this is where we're headed. So,
and when is
that?
That's
coming up at the end of the month. And then from that conference, I've been asked to attend a panel on Capitol Hill to talk about college access for high school students and some of the work that we're doing around College Credit Plus in the high school, in the early college high school. That is March 2nd. It's all really the same week, so then I'll be headed back after that. So pretty exciting opportunity to take part in that. And
that's quite an honor to have been invited to sit on a panel.
Yeah. I'm just excited to brag about the things we're doing. I think there's great work taking place here, and
obviously other people know that too. Thank you.
And I think that's it, finally.
Okay.
That's more than normal. Sorry to keep you that.
I know. I'm good. I am good. I think I'm going to switch around. And
okay.
After the treasurer's report, I'll let that go. So, are you ready, Mr. Johnson?
I'm ready.
All right.
Just a couple quick things. One, the fiscal year 18 budget process is underway. We've sent all of our budget templates out to the building principals and department heads just this week already. We've had 6 budget meetings. We're going to finish up the rest. I believe next week we'll get the rest of them all wrapped up. Then we kind of go from there. They turn them in March. We go to a budget committee meeting, and then we kind of wrap everything up and try to get it so that we can compare the completed budgets with the 5-year forecast and see if those projections all match, see if we need to make any cuts and those kinds of things. So try to get it all wrapped up so that we can have those budgets be part of the May forecast update. So that's underway. And speaking of the forecast, you've probably been reading about the governor's executive budget and the new biennial budget that's coming up. That will impact our state funding for fiscal year 18 and fiscal year 19. The changes will be made all the way up through June 30th, but what's been released initially, based on the first draft from the governor, is good for our district. They would give a 5% increase in each year, compared to our projections, where we were projecting a 2%. That would lead to an increase next year of $500,000 and an increase in fiscal year 19 of about $1 million. So obviously that would be, you know, great news for the district. As I said, though, those are very preliminary numbers. You know, multiple changes could happen. We've already started to see the districts that are, you know, quote unquote losers from that budget proposal, that are losing money. They're already starting to make some noise. So, you know, what's happened in the past when that happens, sometimes the districts that are gaining money, they lose a little bit of that, so it can go towards those other districts. So, you know, we'll obviously lobby to keep that money, but we'll just keep you updated and see where it goes.
Good.
That's all for me.
That's it. Okay. Well, if you don't mind, I was going to let our high point, Mr. Chivington, do his report right now, if you don't mind. So go for it. Yep. Uh-huh. I know you had your meeting last night, and you've got a little bit of a drive to get back home. So
yeah, no worries. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Tonight I've got a couple handouts I'd like to kind of talk through with you. And as you're, if you just grab one and pass it down, one of each. As you're doing that, I'll just kind of give you an overview of some other activities. Last month, actually, we added two new board members. One was, if you remember, Warren Stevens from Urbana passed away last fall. We replaced Warren with Alicia Dunham from the Urbana City Schools. Also, one of our board members, her term was up, and so we replaced her with Corey Ledley from Ridgemont. And so we appointed those two members last month. Also last month, for the parents, we provided an online lunch account where parents can go online and see how much their kids are spending and what they're buying. So that's kind of a nice little feature.
nice for the parents, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then last month seemed to be Honda Tour Month. We actually, from Marysville, we took 65 students through the Marysville Auto Plant. Nice. I believe last month we also had Honda R&D come to one of the schools here, and they brought a Pioneer ATV for the students to see and kind of related how we manufacture that. And then also we're working with the supply chain, J.J. Martin, to get a few students out to see the flow of material and how it gets to the vehicle. So we're working with that. What we really want to talk about tonight are those two items that we just passed out. We're excited about two initiatives that we're getting ready to talk about. The first one is the Sloan. There's two new programs that we're looking at. Dr. Smith created a Sloan Smart Technology Committee, and basically there's two new programs that will be coming in 2018 at Ohio High Point. The first one, if you look at page 2 of the Ohio High Point handout, you'll see the Smart Technology Engineering Curriculum, and that'll be effective January of 2018. Mm-hmm. And so on the front page of your cover, we have a number of community members. And you'll see some community members there, and of course Honda, and one notable company is John Deere. John Deere actually leads the autonomous vehicle driving technology. And so that's a big deal for High Point. Mm-hmm. In the agricultural field, autonomous tractors are very, very big. And so they were actually the first in the industry. So there's autonomous combines, autonomous tractors. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, it's a very safe place, a big field with, you're not going to hit anything, right?
Right.
Something is wrong.
Hopefully.
So, and as you know, State Route 33 will be one of the autonomous routes.
Right.
So there's some linkage there with industry, and Dr. Smith wants to put a program in. And that will happen here in another year. So Marysville students will have an opportunity to take advantage of that. The third page in that handout, one that is really kind of neat as well, is the Advanced Manufacturing Curriculum. And this one is really will be a home run for a lot of our manufacturing companies in the local area. But looking at that curriculum and understanding what they're going to do after 2 years, it is a dead ringer for manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And the program's getting ready to be set up for 15 to 20 students. You have to have a certain GPA to get into the program. It'll all be run at the campus in Bell Fountain. Okay. And so Dr. Smith would like to talk to you more about that at some point, but just wanted to let you know that there's a lot of momentum with these two programs.
Right. That's so exciting. It's just right in line with everything that we're hearing now. That's great.
That second program will start in the fall of 2018.
So. Okay.
Okay. All right. The second handout is one that is kind of exciting as well. I've been working with Tammy Cooper here at the school, and we are placing one of the first Marysville interns in the industry. This young man will be coming to the Honda plant, and his name's Jesse Boomstrom, and it's actually a junior in the early high school program and is interested in engineering. And we are cycling him through an 8-week program at the East Liberty plant, and he'll be touring the first week will be at our engineering center, and on that first page you can see what his learning outcomes is intended to be. And so then we'll rotate him to three departments in the East Liberty plant, weld, paint, and assembly. And I had an opportunity to meet the young man, and he's very excited. And, and Tammy's met with the parents this week. And so he'll be starting at the end of the month. And so it'll be an 8-week rotation. He'll be with us for 2 days a week on Tuesday and Thursday for 2 hours a day. And so we hope to follow him through his college career. And we're very, very familiar at Hondo with cooperative education, and hopefully it works out and we can
snag him when he's done, right?
So page one is basically the onboarding requirements, the expectations of the student, we have an opportunity to understand what he's looking at. And then page two is a little more detailed schedule and the background and the purpose and what tools we'll use. So. We're very excited about that, and High Point's excited about that first opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great model, you know, just for Tammy to have this too. You know, I mean, it's a great way to start. So, that's wonderful, really exciting.
So that's what we have tonight.
Okay,
thank you for your time.
I was just at a meeting with Scott McLemore, where he was bragging about Honda's never taken
high school
students. So he was pretty excited about that change. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we were 80%, we're committed 100%, but this might be an 80% effort. There might be a couple bumps in the road.
Growth mindset, right?
That's right. Just not everybody yet. We'll get there.
That's right.
Right. Great. Well, thank you so much. Okay. Any questions, anybody?
Thank you very much for partnering with our leadership team and helping to make connections with High Point stronger.
Sure.
Thank you.
Appreciate the support.
Great. Thank you. Okay, for the board president's report, we had a community coffee this last Saturday. Brian and I attended that. It had a great turnout. There were 7 people besides Brian and myself, a couple of families that are new to the district whose kids are going into kindergarten next year, and they just were kind of interested to learn a little bit about our district. So that was nice, and good questions, good conversation.
About that?
What?
That, if I remember right, that family picked Marysville to move to because of the schools.
Right.
Her done a lot of research to get to that.
Right, because her family was in Indianapolis, and the husband's family was in the Cleveland area, and they wanted to find some place kind of in between the two. And they said, they specifically moved here because of our schools. So, woo-hoo. That's always good to hear. And as always, we share the information with the board and with Diane, so that if there's any follow-up that needs to take place, we try and make sure that gets covered. So, and also just so we're aware of some of that, so that we're all aware of those kind of questions that we're getting. Had a chamber meeting this morning, and one thing that came up, maybe some of you got an email, but the chamber annual dinner is again on the date of our April board meeting. April 20th. So I'm just asking that we might consider between now and next month, look at your calendars and see if we might be willing to move our meeting to either the 13th or the 27th, whatever fits the presenting building's schedule, et cetera. So we'll follow up on that. Another thing that came up is that next week the Chamber is hosting, every month they have a business impact breakfast, and this next week it's going to be about the Council of Governments, and for those of you who aren't aware, the Council of Governments includes our city, our county, and our school district. So that's Terry Emery, Steve Stolte is from the county commissioner, and Diane, and I think Todd goes there too as the money guy. But anyways, I just thought it was interesting because Steve Stolte really made a point of saying how much he enjoyed working with Diane, that he'd known her since she came to the district, and that she's really had a positive impact on the Council of Governments, and that he appreciates your input into everything that's happening there. So I told him I would share that with you and let the board know that you had that nice comment from Steve. Let's see, the Central Region OSBA Conference is on Monday, March 6th. Brian sits on that committee. Is it a board, the Central Region Board?
It's called an Executive Committee.
Executive Committee. So Brian is on that Executive Committee. I'm going to toot my own horn and Mr. Smith's horn a little bit here because both of us, you didn't turn anything in, did you, Brian, for that award?
No.
Okay. So Mr. Smith and I received a letter that out of over 3,400 board members in Ohio, 65 will be receiving an award of achievement this year, and we are two of those 65. And some of the things that you do to earn this award is attending the seminars, serving in leadership roles, serving on various committees, things like that. And so congratulations. And
congratulations.
I'll see you on March 6th. I don't know. I think a few people are attending. So
Donna's collecting those. So if you have not responded, please let her know.
Yeah, if you plan to attend. And those are, you know, those are nice events to network with other board members. And they usually have a little entertainment and maybe a speaker or two. So the Board Leadership Institute is on Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd at the Hilton Columbus Polaris again. So, you know, we have a little bit of time, but if you're interested in attending that, let Donna know. I think that's a really worthwhile. That's one of my favorites, actually. But, and then another thing that I want to talk about briefly tonight, first of all, FFA banquet is March 11th at 5 p.m. If you're interested in attending that, I would contact Sherry Anderson. That's always a great event. We have an excellent FFA program. And then recently we had an email from OSBA about a business honor roll. And they were asking districts to nominate up to 5 businesses. And Nan had sent an email saying, hey, Sue, do you think we might want to do this? And the more we thought about it, we said, I don't think we can limit ourselves to 5. So we would like to try and come up with a way to have an annual business honor roll celebration. So maybe if somebody on our board is willing to maybe chair that or spearhead that and work with Diane to try and figure out the details and what that might look like. Any thoughts on something like that? Or?
Nan sent the email.
Okay.
Yeah, I would volunteer to do that. Okay. I think that we have a lot of great business partnerships here in town, and I think it would be very beneficial if we could reach out to them and have them recognized in some small way.
Right, yep. I think that'd be great. Mm-hmm. And kind of along the same lines, but more internally, I know, Mr. Smith, you know, we've talked about that recognition of retiring staff, and maybe, you know, we do that at convocation. We recognize a variety of different things at convocation, but again, we would like something that's more at the board level, a chance for us to maybe sit and talk to them a little bit and thank them a little more personally than we're in a big setting like the convocation. So again, that's something that I think would like to get off the ground. Mm-hmm. Agreed? Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, then we'll be working on that. And let's see. Okay, last thing. Oh, board officers training. So Nan and I attended board officers training the end of January. That's a really nice event, and it's a little fun because there's a lot of very dysfunctional boards out there. So you hear some stories, you go, whoa, I can't believe that really happens, but it does. So, you know, some of the things we talked about how we had developed our board protocol, spent some time talking about the importance of evaluating your superintendent and treasurer, and it was kind of interesting because we had just gotten through our mid-year evaluations, and I think we'd agree that as we listen to some of the conversation, we really have, I think, a best practice, and I have to recognize Jeff Mabee, the past president, because I know when they switched to the kind of the new format of the superintendent's evaluation, he jumped right on board, and instead of just doing one annual one, we did a mid-year formative review and then the end-of-year summative review, and then added to that are updates from Diane and Todd Treasure, kind of, you know, somewhat regular basis, and those updates are always aligned to our strategy and the objectives. So they address each one of those objectives and kind of let us know where they are. So we know throughout the year, are we moving in the right direction? Are there some hiccups? Are there any things we need to be concerned about? So we appreciate that, and we shared some of that with the group, and I think we're recognized for having a good process. Let's see. We spent a lot of time talking about communication, and so it's kind of a reminder to Nan and me. You know, we talked about it afterwards and said, you know, as elected officials, first of all, we have an opportunity to go in our buildings a lot, and we attend these meetings and stuff, but as elected officials, it's important for us to communicate to stakeholders from the board's perspective, you know, kind of what's happening in the district, and if we feel comfortable about what's happening, if we're excited about it, and so we agreed that it might make sense to send something to the paper occasionally, a few times during the year, to kind of say, hey, this is what's happening in the district, and you know, we feel good about what's happening, or we need your help with something along those lines. So I did actually have kind of a draft that I have worked on, and just going to give you a copy, and hopefully in the next week or two, drop something off and see if we can't do that again kind of occasionally, and not just in the paper, some other places too, to try and reach as many people as possible so that they know that, you know, as your elected official, we feel good about what's happening. So
yeah, communication is key, not only for between the board members and also between the superintendent and treasurer, but even more so with community members and stakeholders, and we are trying very hard as part of our business goals, the board's business goals, is to reach out to the community and business partners and make sure that we are communicating what's going on with the schools. It's not always going to be perfect, but be assured that we are continuing and being committed to communicate what we want to accomplish to the community.
Okay. I think that's all I've got. So we've done the high point, done the safety, legislative report. The brief legislative report,
yes,
right?
Brief legislative. I handed out to the members of the board, and there's some copies on the table over there, I think, if anybody is interested. I was invited to go to the National School Board Association Advocacy Institute in Washington, D.C., the end of January. So I went, spent 3 days, and 2 days from 7:30 until 5 were spent in meetings and presentations and listening to speakers and all sorts of things. And learned a great deal about the legislative process. Even though I taught it for a lot of years, I still learn more about what it's like to actually be involved in the legislative process in Washington. And then the third day we spent on Capitol Hill, there were 38 people from Ohio, the delegation from Ohio that attended the national convention. There were a total of 700 plus from across the nation. I was one of 35 school board members from Ohio that went, and we had an opportunity to meet with Senators Brown and Portman, and to, as a group, talk with them, ask questions, share our concerns about funding and national programs and so forth. And then I was paired with a board member from Elida, and we met then with Jim Jordan and met with his staff and sat down and discussed federal government's role in education. And this document that I have over there is what we presented to him. So if there are any typos or anything in there, I don't want to hear it.
Okay. So you didn't type it, right?
It's over and done. It's okay. Too late. But there were really five issues that the NEA was focused on, and those are highlighted in here. Child nutrition, federal investment in education, the Every Student Succeeds Act, technology, what was that one? Perkins Career Technology, and the question about school choice. And hopefully our efforts make a difference. You know, you're never going to walk in and convince somebody to completely change their perspective, but you try to chip away a little bit, give them more reasons to say yes to the things that you would like to have them say yes to. Kind of one of the things caught my attention was the State Department of Education had said they were going to not issue grants from some federal money, and that was going to affect our base after school program. As a demonstration, people around this state complained, and the State Department of Education reversed their position, and they're going to be accepting applications in May, so your voice does make a difference. Mm-hmm. When you speak up, and you speak up loud, and you speak up in concert, things can change. So hopefully, there's no guarantees, but hopefully BASE will qualify to get a program. As Todd mentioned, the budget has been introduced. That's the main focus. Typically, what the governor submits is not enacted. The State House has the first shot at it. State Senate has the second shot at it. I talked with Senator Dave Burke the other day, kind of general about things. We talked about College Credit Plus, and he expects that there will be some changes with that program. Maybe not all the changes we'd like to see, but at least some in that. We also talked about the governor's proposal to add 3 non-voting business leaders to school boards. Mm-hmm. And I suggested that was you know, a kind of a misplaced solution to a non-existent problem, that the vast majority of school boards have connections with businesses in their communities. Mm-hmm. Our thing, I hope ours is exemplary. We certainly have made an effort, but adding non-voting members from any place to a group, I'm not sure is going to be terribly effective. Whether something will happen on that, I don't know. But we had a good conversation, and I'm going to be attending a meeting with Representative Dorothy Polanda. She's taken on a new role. She is the majority leader, and so she will have more influence, and so maybe some changes. Okay. So we'll see. So.
And I think you also are trying to schedule a visit with Jim Jordan.
Yes, I invited Jim Jordan to come and specifically look at our personalized instruction at the elementary level. And I showed Knowledge Works mm-hmm. as a video that highlights what's going on at Navin. I showed that a lot in Washington. There were jaws dropping at what was going on in our school district. People were absolutely amazed. I had several other school board members and superintendents that have said that they've got to get that into their school system. So that part of it was really nice. When you can go to the national level and walk around and know that there's, you know, you're coming from a school district that is second to none among the others that are, you know, the other attendees, and that you can sit there and be very proud about talking about your school. That is an absolutely incredible and amazing feeling. And I was very happy and very proud to represent our district.
And that speaks well for our leadership, right? So thank you for doing that. Okay? All right. Let's see. Next up, we need a motion to approve the minutes from our January 19th regular board meeting and a February 2nd special meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments or corrections that anybody knows? Nope. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, we have the treasure items. So I need a motion to approve the treasure items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage. I'll second that. Any comments, Todd?
Yeah, the only really big item I would point out in there is the appropriations increase for the Permanent Improvement Fund, $1.6 million. That number is within our Permanent Improvement forecast. It's really just a timing issue where we're starting to get into our fiscal year 18 money. We've got a big school bus purchase coming up towards the end of this calendar, this fiscal year. We have a security camera project that is potentially in the works and starting some summer projects with the maintenance department as well.
Okay. Any questions?
I just said, Todd, you know, going back a couple of years ago when we had the permanent improvement budget laid out, we did all of that search and we looked out to 2030 and stuff like that. That has really made a difference on this and other projects. Thank you for doing that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Motion carries. And next, we have the superintendent items, so we need a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith. We have a second.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. All right.
We have several HR items on there, and you have the final and second and final read, I guess is a better way to say that, of the policy issues. I know we talked about that some of those last time, so follow-up questions were to go to Jonathan. We have some overnight trips. We have the DC trip. And then we also have a spring break trip with some of our students as well. We also have the symphonic choir trip to New York for next year on that list. As well, we have a couple of placements, field experience, mini student teaching pieces there. We also have supplementals on for the spring. So any coach that does not have all of their CPR or PAV completed JET is not on that list. So this would be the first round.
Oh, and the urgent necessity?
We do have an urgent necessity on there to finish the, we told you in the fall to finish the parking lot project.
Right.
And that's on there as well.
That we talked about that two, maybe three board meetings ago. The need is due to some of the unforeseen things that were happening underground that needed to be fixed. I think right now we're at about $18,000 of that 60 that we would need. But our goal is to not come back again. So we wanted to build a little bit of a contingency in there in case there's any other unforeseen things that happen. If you know, we don't run into any of those things, then that money just goes back into the pot. It's just kind of giving us the authority in case we do run into those issues.
I forgot, but that project's coming along really nicely.
We're pretty much they're doing little things, but we're pretty much at a standstill
until
better weather.
Okay.
I just wanted to make one comment. Among the policies that are being reviewed tonight is the policy on hazing, bullying,
which is harassment, intimidation, mm-hmm. and dating violence. And because of topics that have been in the news lately, mm-hmm. and because of things that have happened in adjoining school districts, mm-hmm. Just wanted to kind of make it public that, you know, we have a very, very thorough policy on hazing and bullying mm-hmm. within the district. Mm-hmm. It has very detailed guidelines on how to report. It requires training within the staff. So that has been reviewed and approved, and I'd like to thank you, Jonathan, for mm-hmm. leading that activity, and we have a very strong policy in place for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's always exciting to approve those trips, too. I know how much that eighth grade trip to Washington, D.C. is just amazing, and some of those other ones are exciting to see, too, going to New York City with the symphonic choir, so.
I think the international experience with yeah. some students at Bunsell.
Right.
I think that's.
That's kind of a first.
Yeah, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for those opportunities yep. for kids.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. So finally, we are to the comments and questions from board members. Mr. Smith, would you like to start us off?
Just a lot of things, exciting, a lot of things on the horizon. I'm generally just excited for the things that are going on in each of our buildings. I think that looking at and considering proposals in our athletic facilities is long overdue. I was one of the people that climbed up the scaffolding, the metal work for the bleachers, and put those together by my hands.
You still remember it?
I do. It was death-defying climbing up there. No ropes, no safety equipment. It was amazing. And I can remember football practice was putting grass on the football field. There may be somebody else in here that remembers. I was in charge of the group at Scott's. We loaded up the grass. And, we had half of the team at the stadium that was putting it down. It was an all-day project, but the community rallied around it, and hopefully the community will rally around this project also, just as they did it at that time. So, that's it.
Okay.
We were able to go to the High Point Banquet recently, and really appreciated that. The students took us on a tour of the building, and culinary students got to show off their abilities and their professionalism, so that was a great mm-hmm. experience. We did have a community coffee just recently.
Yeah, just Saturday.
And that was another good experience. And the stadium was, there were a number of topics, but it was the dominant topic. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten other community members approaching me about it, so I'm glad that we're communicating about it, and that we're, I hope that we continue to really focus on the communication, because it's a big area mm-hmm. of interest for everybody mm-hmm. in the district. Yesterday I visited Mill Valley and had a really good visit, and I just wanted to mention two things. One of the first grade classrooms had worked very hard on alternate seating arrangements, and they mentioned that in the presentation, and I don't know if you caught that. Mm-hmm. And it makes a huge deal. I walked into this first grade classroom, and I didn't really want to leave. I mean, some of these rooms are so inviting. There were probably 6, 7, 8 different ways that the kids could sit in the room, from sitting on the floor, sitting on little bean bags, sitting on different kinds of chairs, and it just made a very inviting space, and the energy was really good, and in fact, the energy in the whole building was very positive and engaged, mm-hmm. you know, with students and staff. And the other thing I wanted to mention is a new project there that they're excited about. It's called a Buddy Bench. Has anybody mm-hmm. heard of this?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't think it's quite done there, but it's a big bench out where they have recess, and the idea is if a student is feeling lonely or isolated, they can go sit there, and other students take the responsibility to go and sit with them. And it just really warmed my heart to hear about that and to hear how excited the teachers and the kids are about it, because I work with a lot of kids in my capacity at church from preschool through high school and college. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get to high school, this is a big issue. Mm-hmm. Isolation, okay, mm-hmm. feeling left out. And it's hard to fix. And I think to see the elementary schools addressing it collectively and working on it with the teachers and the kids is really quite a big deal. And that was one of the most encouraging things I saw in that visit. So it was a good experience, too, going to Mill Valley yesterday.
Great. Very nice. So I attended the new board member training on about two Saturdays ago, and then the Saturday after that, Sue and I went to the board leadership training all day Saturday. Mm-hmm. So just can't speak highly enough from the perspective of the training that's offered by the Ohio School Board Association. There is a lot to learn from a legal standpoint, from a legislative standpoint, from a Robert's Rules standpoint. There's a lot to learn. So want to thank the board for making that a priority for all of us as far as board development. Also attended the High Point banquet, and I thought that was a very nice. I've never been to High Point, and it was interesting to have the students lead you through, so you got to see it kind of through their eyes. And then our next community coffee is going to be March 11th. So we really encourage the community to come out and talk about whatever they want to talk about. That is a great opportunity to interact with two board members at a time, and it can be whatever you want to talk about, bring to our attention, or experience that you want to share.
It reminds me, I forgot to say that because ours was so close to Valentine's Day, Fifth Street Cafe treated everybody who came to the community coffee with a Valentine cookie. So a shout out to Fifth Street Cafe. That was very nice. So
enough of that.
No?
Who from the board is going to be at the March 11th?
Oh yeah, Mark. Who did?
It should be me and Amy.
Okay.
And it's still at the Fifth Street.
Yes. Yes. And then we are going to reevaluate in March if we want to move to a different location to maybe hit a different demographic. So we'll talk about that next month.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know if you realize, Brian, or not, but you were tweeted. I was trying to find it so I could get the quote out there, but I couldn't find it yesterday in your visit. So just, you know, a reminder that the teachers love to see you come in and love that sense of support, and really helps you understand some of the things we talk about.
You always
sometimes.
Learn, right. Like, one of the things I learned is the teachers call their principal McGlenn.
There you go.
They just, yeah.
Comfortable, right? They're comfortable.
They're comfortable. It's a good relationship. With each other, yeah.
That's good. Yes, Mr. Canale is still here. So thank you so much again, for hosting this, but that presentation was amazing, and I know how hard you've been working. I've had several visits with you over the years, and I'm so proud of what you're doing here. So thank you. I had a chance to use the free tickets for the showcase, and I know Brian did as well. I think I warmed up a seat for him there for a while. But again, it's great to go and see how well run that is, and the wonderful comments that we get from people who are attending who don't know that I'm a board member and just happen to be standing next to them in line. But it's just run beautifully, and I'm proud of our show choir. They did a nice job hosting it, so thank you for that. Had a chance to attend Navin's first family STEAM night, and in case you read through the board notes, my husband's name made it because we stopped in, and they thanked us for stopping in, but mm-hmm. it was amazing. Their first team night, how many? They had like almost 400?
A little over 400.
Yeah, over 400 mm-hmm. people attending this. It was very well organized and just a lot of hands-on opportunities for the kids with their parents. So a really nice family event, a way to bring them into the school and see what's happening and meet with the teachers too. So that was great. Let's see. Just yesterday I got to go to Bunsold and be a judge for the science fair, and I can tell you we've got some very, very promising scientists coming up through the ranks, so I got to judge a couple of really fun experiments.
And then shout out to gymnastics. They were just the OCC champs. And I know bowling is doing well, swimming, wrestling, basketball. I mean, I'm proud of all of our teams. And I also wanted to thank Todd and Laura for everything that you're doing in the budgeting process. That's kind of another thing that we consistently hear in those building notes, how much they appreciate what you do. And you know, you just see in their notes when it comes to that financial stability how much effort they're putting into it and how much they've you know, kind of taken charge of their own budgets. So kudos to you two. And I know that, Diane, you also go to the buildings every month and have meetings and stuff. So appreciate your reaching out to staff and helping lead the charge in this amazing district. So that's all I got. How about a motion to approve or to adjourn?
So moved.
Mr. Smith, second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Power? Oh, sorry. Ms. Devine?
Yes. The motion carries, and we are adjourned at 8:55. Thank you.